Gentlemen, first case for argument, Scattered Corporation v. Neary. Mr. Bernstein.
Good morning, judges. I'll keep this very short. I noticed the panel reduced the time from 15 to 10 minutes. I think the briefs on both sides put forth the positions of both parties succinctly. I don't want to spend a lot of time repeating what's been written. It's not that complicated.
I don't understand the case at all. Let me ask you, look, couldn't you have used these net operating loss carry-forwards without the bankruptcy?
Yes, Your Honor.
So what's the purpose of the bankruptcy?
As was stated in the confirmation hearing, the purpose, as testified by Mr. Greenblatt, was to avoid litigation. There was.
What do you mean avoid litigation? In order to be bankrupt, you have to have a negative net worth or something. What's this about avoiding litigation? You think someone is sued and the next thing you know he declares bankruptcy because he doesn't like being sued?
Well, he actually hadn't.
What's the basis for your showing that you had, liabilities greater than your assets?
There were potential lawsuits out there.
Potential. Look, what was the evidence that you had liabilities that exceeded your assets?
The evidence was Wachovia, who has sued Loop, was present.
What do you mean present? What is the evidence? What's the balance sheet? Is there a balance sheet that shows that? Well, then what's your basis for declaring bankruptcy?
The basis was there was a negative net worth. There were liabilities.
So there's a balance sheet, right? Negative net worth, a balance sheet. Liabilities exceed assets. Where is the balance sheet? Is that in the record?
No, it's not, Your Honor.
Well, how could you go into the bankruptcy court without a balance sheet?
There was none prepared. There was no.
Well, it's a phony bankruptcy.
It's not a phony
bankruptcy. It is a phony bankruptcy because there's no evidence that you have liabilities in excess of your assets. And I've never seen a deposition like Greenblatt's. I mean, that's contemptuous. He said he refused to say anything.
Well, I would only comment that the deposition should not have been introduced into evidence. Mr. Greenblatt was there. It was an improper entrance of that deposition. But I understand what Your Honor is saying. Your Honor, I would point out the one thing that I think is somewhat unrebutted by the trustee's office is the interpretation of the Bankruptcy Code Section 1126C, which talks about the calculation of how we interpret the claim. And that talks about it, and it's an esoteric argument, and I recognize that. And the only response the trustee really had is that there were some mathematical musings. However, the code does say what the code says. I didn't write it. And it talks about how it is to be calculated. And it talks about at least two-thirds in amount and more than one-half in number of claims must vote in favor of a Chapter 11 plan.
But you have to read the code sensibly. And there's, the other provision of the code, 1129A, in which, you need a creditor that's not an insider. And I don't see any reason why we have to delve into the niceties of dividing by zero and so on. It just seems, that's just, I don't think anyone in Congress is that mathematically sophisticated.
It does seem to me, Your Honor, that the two sections conflict with one another.
I don't think they conflict at all. I think, there's a reason why Congress might not want the bankruptcy process if the only impaired creditor is an insider and, you've got to approach these problems in a different way. That's even if you get beyond the issues Judge Posner was talking about.
To me, Your Honor, that was the only major issue that I thought I wanted to.
Well, who's the impaired creditor? Scattered.
Scattered, Your Honor.
And they're an insider.
That's what's the finding of fact. We would argue that that finding was never properly held, and that even if there was,
look at Greenblatt's deposition on that. Completely evasive. It's obvious he controls all these entities.
Again, I would argue that the deposition was improperly introduced, and that.
And what is it that you thought would be accomplished by what by the reorganization?
Obviously, Your Honor, there was avoidance of litigation.
Did you list these? Who was listed as creditors when you went into the bankruptcy court?
Wachovia was not listed.
Listed as a creditor?
Scattered.
Who else?
That's who was
listed. It was the sole creditor, wasn't it?
Yes, Your Honor.
This is completely fraudulent. It's totally fraudulent.
I don't believe that that's the holding.
It's completely fraudulent. Look, you say that the purpose of going into bankruptcy was to deal with these lawsuits, but you mentioned Wachovia. But you don't list them as a creditor.
Well, there was testimony to it. I mean,
in testimony, you go into bankruptcy, you list your creditors.
Well,
present a balance sheet, a list of creditors and the liabilities. I don't see anything like this.
It's not there. That's why I understand.
I've never seen it. I don't understand. I don't see. I don't know why the case has lasted this long. I don't know why it wasn't dismissed the day it was filed. Anything further?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bernstein. Ms. Stoops?
Good morning. I'm not sure I have much to add beyond the appellant's argument, except to say that the bankruptcy court did not clearly err in finding that this was not a bankruptcy plan that could be confirmed. Under 1129A10, in order to be confirmed, a bankruptcy plan must be approved by at least one class of impaired claims that is comprised of non-insiders. The bankruptcy court found, based upon the evidence presented by South Beach and Scattered, South Beach bore the burden of proof on that issue, that Scattered is indeed an insider of South Beach, and therefore the plan of confirmation was ineligible under 1129A10. Turning to 1129D, which is the section of the code that prohibits confirmation of a plan if its primary purpose is the avoidance of taxes, all of the record evidence in this case indicated that this was a plan that was proposed in order to transfer.
What's so strange about it? It didn't need a plan, did they?
Well, Your Honor, I think that that's not something that's necessarily clear from the record. And my understanding of the record is that when they were before the bankruptcy court, they did insist that they needed the bankruptcy in order to do this.
I don't understand that, because as I understand it, you're not allowed to, I may be wrong about this, but I think you're not allowed to buy a company for the sole purpose. Okay, you have just a lot of these net operating losses. You can't just buy a company that has profits for the purpose of being able to deduct the operating losses. That I understand. But if they're companies under common ownership, you know, you can merge them and then you can use your and that's the situation here. So I don't get it why they went into bankruptcy. I just don't get it.
I'm not sure I get it either, Your Honor, but I do know that under 1129D, this court doesn't need to determine that the question of whether...
Curious.
Yeah. It's not a question that this court needs to determine to rule upon whether the bankruptcy court erred by applying 1129D, because 1129D looks at the purpose of the plan. The stated purpose of this plan was to monetize these net operating losses.
Yeah, I had trouble following that too, actually, since I guess the best I could figure out was that Scattered, after the bankruptcy, was going to somehow give money to South Beach, which was then going to use the net operating losses to offset profits. But I didn't know how any of that could happen differently from the way it would happen if there were no bankruptcy, and I didn't know why that suddenly sheltered Scattered's profits if they really are separate entities. But if they aren't separate entities, then we have a different problem anyway.
I mean, the testimony, the record evidence at the evidentiary hearing, according to Mr. Greenblatt, who's the individual who appears to be in control of all of these entities.
This is Greenblatt the son, right? Greenblatt
the son, yes.
Yeah.
His testimony was that as she stated, South Beach intended to infuse capital into, I mean, pardon me, Scattered intended to infuse capital in order to take advantage of, or monetize, in their words, this net operating loss. Whether that could be achieved inside or outside of bankruptcy, I don't think is a question that's before this court in order to determine that the bankruptcy court didn't err by applying 1129D, because the sole purpose, as stated by South Beach in the bankruptcy court, was to take advantage of these net operating losses, and it was only after the fact, after the objection was raised by the United States trustee, that they claimed that it was some litigation avoidance purpose. But as Your Honor observed, there's nothing in the record. There's no pending litigation. There was nothing disclosed in the plan, nothing in the disclosure statement accompanying the plan, indicating that there was any kind of real or tangible threat of litigation. So,
has the trustee, has the U.S. trustee asked for sanctions for this?
I don't believe that there was a motion for sanctions in this case.
That it?
Unless your honors have further questions of me, I will take my seat.
Thank you, Ms. Dukes. So, Mr. Bernstein, do you have anything further? Were you the lawyer for this group in the bankruptcy court? Did you file it?
I represented Scattered, the attorneys for South. I was not the attorney for South Beach.
But you filed a bankruptcy?
No,
because South Beach is the debtor, and you represent Scattered. Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.